Brilliance Audio.
When I First Held You by Anstey Harris, performed by Billy Fulford Brown and Helen Lloyd. For my mothers, with love, Christine Jane Harris, 1945 to 1970, Hazel Jane Baker, nay choice, 1931 to 1992, and for Rose McLaughlin, every week of my life. Chapter 1. For most customers who enter the shop, the thing they most want mending is the past. We can't do that. We can patch it, polish it. We can turn the past into a healthy memory to be built on. But we can't mend it. Once we explain that, they seem happier, content to have an emblem of that time restored, or a memento made usable again. Often, all they need is to talk. The shop began life as a blue plastic laundry basket outside our garden gate. In it, Catherine would put every single thing that had made its way into our house, but that we no longer wanted or had never found a use for. Magically, every evening the crate would clear again, as if there were fairies waiting to recycle those flimsy plant pots left after the seedlings had grown, goblins interested in a jumper with a bleach mark on the cuff, or a plastic bag full of plastic bags. One man's trash is another man's treasure, Catherine would say, when she brought the grubby plastic basket in to fill it up again. The proof, day after day, that almost anything can be recycled or repurposed, led to the bigger conversation that got us here, to the mending shop, and 4 years after Catherine's death, it's a way to reinvent me. She may have set the whole thing up just to reuse me. I wouldn't be surprised. For an artist, Catherine had a methodical and pragmatic mind. She spent 50 years one step ahead of me, and it still amazes me that I managed to live without her. Usually the shop is a quiet place, a couple of volunteers beavering away at benches, the occasional customer in from the cold outside, a general air of concentrated purpose. I enjoy the peace in my little office. I have to raise my head above the parapet to deal with a crisis from time to time, but I stay in here with the paperwork. Outside, in the shop front proper, there are smells of solder, of paint, the occasional whiff of glue as something comes back together, comes back to life. We have customers, although not too many, and no money changes hands. And we're all, the volunteers and I, quietly useful. Today I'm standing by the front door, herding cats. The space is filled with people, despite the fact that it wasn't designed for that at all. We have long benches across the width of the room, each a few metres apart, like school science labs. The walls around the edges are racked with shelves from floor to ceiling, shelves that hold things to be mended, things to be collected, and enough tools to fix anything except a broken heart. The shop wasn't set out for every volunteer and a number of nosy locals to all come in at once. There is an excited buzz of conversation that warms the air and, despite my best efforts to be detached and above it all, makes me tingle with excitement. "Judith," a man calls from amongst the melee, "could we get you into makeup?" Makeup means my tiny office. It sits like an old-fashioned foreman's post in the furthest corner of the long room. The cubicle doesn't really warrant a word as grand as office. It is plywood thin, and the top half of it is glass, so that I can look out at the workshop, and, which happens far more often, so they can look in at me. There is a door of sorts, but it doesn't quite fit properly, and I worry that if it does shut one day, I'll never be able to open it. "Judith?" he asks again. "Sorry, absolutely. I'm on my way. Makeup isn't really my thing, but if I'm to be on television, I'd best try and look half-decent. Age and the very bright lights dotted all round the shop have bleached my skin enough. In my office is a nice young woman called Angela, the daughter of one of our volunteers. She has offered to help me look less dishevelled for this morning. Angela sits...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?